jeans, t-shirt and a tie. The only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune into KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopehar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne salamat dosto, welcome back. It is Saturday. It is time to start living out your dreams. Welcome back. This is Sapne Salamat with Rohit Chandra. Welcome to another episode. This is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, technical people, and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. And as you know by now, we are on every Saturday at noon, and this is a non-commercial show. The singular goal to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. No money has been paid. No money has been received by anybody to make an appearance on today's show. Today, we are going to talk about how venture deals get done. So we're going to have a very, very interesting conversation today. We're actually going to sort of think of it as putting a venture capital fund in a glass box. And we're going to look in and see how the process works. So joining us in the studios today is Ajay Chopra. Ajay, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
Thanks for coming out on Saturday. Ajay is a partner at Trinity Ventures. Trinity Ventures is one of the marquee venture funds on Sand Hill Road in Silicon Valley. And what? How much do you guys have under assets under management at this point?
We manage roughly about $1 billion across three funds.
Wow.
And we invest, you know, more than 70 million each year.
Wow. 70 million is invested in startups. And you always invest in early stage, mid stage, late stage?
We are typically early stage. More than 70% of our deals are early stage, and there are some late stage deals. We do seed stage deals, Series A deals, Series B, and sometimes late stage deals.
Fantastic. Okay. So before we get too much far along, I'm going to sort of give you a background on who Ajay is, why Ajay is the expert, and why we have Ajay in the studios today. So Ajay is himself an entrepreneur, and he's been down the entire entrepreneurial journey. You were born in India originally, right?
That is correct, yes. Born in Delhi.
Born in Delhi, my hometown. And you grew up in India, all over the country?
Yeah, I grew up in northern India. Went to a high school at a boarding school in the foothills of the Himalayas in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And then went to BITS Pilani for my undergraduate degree in electrical and electronics engineering, and came to the U.S. For graduate work at Stony Brook University in New York.
Sunny, so that's one of the Sunnis, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
okay, Sunnis, lovely. Right. So you're son of the soil very much, born and raised in India, been here, came for grad school, and worked your way. I guess you picked up a job somewhere along the way, worked for somebody else?
Yeah, so after I graduated from Stony Brook, I worked for Burroughs Corporation, which is now called Unisys.
Yes, of course.
And then went on to work for Atari Corporation, then did my first startup that I actually joined the one of the founders of the home computer division of Atari.
Okay.
Actually started that company, and that was not successful. And then we spun out from there and did my venture called Pinnacle Systems, which was quite successful. We took it public in the mid-90s and grew it to a market cap of more than $2 billion.
Fantastic. So there was a lot of jewels that just came through in that last 30 seconds. So you started a company called Pinnacle Systems in 19...
Actually, in the late 80s.
Okay, 1986, right?
That is correct, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And so you started this company, which was doing video?
Yeah, so this company is in the video processing and video editing business. Think of kind of iMovie on the Mac, similar to that on the PC.
Okay.
Actually, it still is probably the leading package for video editing on the PC.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so it's called Pinnacle Studio. And so we built that business, and then we had a line of business that catered to institutionals and corporations for video syndication and distribution. And then we have a line of business for broadcasters. So we did television broadcast studios, DirecTV, for example, used our equipment for broadcast of their television program. So it was a fairly diversified business, roughly about $350 million in revenue.
Annual revenue of $350 million.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. That's a huge number. And so 1986, you started this. You took the company through how many rounds of funding?
Three rounds of funding,
okay.
And then took it public in 1994.
So you IPO'd on NASDAQ?
IPO'd on NASDAQ.
Okay.
And had market cap probably less than $200 million at that time. And then, of course, from 94 to 2000 was the big market ride. So, the company was growing substantially year after year. So that's when our market cap went up to a substantial number, over $2 billion.
Over $2 billion. That means people that actually invested in the company after the IPO made more money than the people that invested in the early stage?
This is true, not unlike Google.
That's true. Is that really true, actually?
Yeah, if you look at the real dollars you invest, it's actually true.
Google IPO.
Because Google went from 0 to 85 before IPO.
Right.
And then it went from 85 to over 500, right? So if you put real dollars in, you have pretty big gains.
Wow. Interesting. I'll have to go back and do that math. I'm not convinced because I think guys that got in at the early days would have put in, a few cents on the dollar or something. And from that to 85 is a big jump.
Comparing real dollars to percentage. Certainly the percentage appreciation before IPO is higher, but real dollars are...
Yeah. Of course. Okay. Well, fantastic. We digress, but back. So you took this company public and you started as the founding CEO.
That is correct,
And then you were the chairman of the board?
I was the chairman of the board throughout the existence of the company. And,
fantastic.
We did several acquisitions, particularly after we took it public.
Oh, really? How many companies did you...
We acquired over 20 companies, big and small. Some of them were technology acquisitions. Some of them were... public companies,
okay.
And that's how we, consolidated a large portion of the consumer and professional video creation tools business into Pinnacle Systems over the years.
Okay.
And then in 2005, if I can move forward, we sold the company to another company in the same business called Avid Technologies.
Okay.
And Avid is actually fairly well known in television broadcasting business. They make the tools for editing movie shows, movies and also television shows. So they're fairly well known. Almost every movie that won an Oscar award is cut on that. So it's a fairly well-known company in the industry.
How fun. Okay. And so 2005, you saw that, and then you got into the venture capital business.
That's right. I took a little bit of time off, realized that I could not retire. I was too anxious to go and do something different, and started looking around at doing various things. And I was already doing some angel investing and realized that maybe better for me to get more structured about investing, and ended up joining Trinity Ventures in 2006. And, so I've been there since then, 4.5 years. I've made roughly about 8 investments in companies, different stages.
8 investments in 4 years. That's a little high for a venture partner.
The venture business, right? Yeah.
I know a little bit about it.
Typically, in the venture business, each partner makes maybe one or a little bit, the average is about 1.25 investments a year if you average it out. So I'm batting a little bit above that. But I think the real results will be known on the winners rather than what you, go in with.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So I think for the benefit of my listeners, I want to do a quick recap in terms of why I took them through this entire process. So you're somebody who were born in India, raised in India, came here, went to graduate school, worked around in the various different companies, started your own company, raised money for that company, raised second rounds, third rounds, took the company public, and then you acquired other companies. So you've actually gone through the entire life cycle of startup ecosystem from literally every perspective. And then, of course, you've been an angel investor yourself, and now you've been a VC.
This is correct. I've been through every one of those. and along the way, we picked up a couple of Emmy Awards, too, because my company was awarded 3 Emmy Awards. So that was
How
a lot
fun.
Of fun. Yeah.
How exciting, yeah.
And then I guess the other part was ringing the bell on NASDAQ. That was a lot of fun.
So, yes, I can imagine.
So for the entrepreneurs that are listening, those are the delightful moments in a journey of an entrepreneur, when you have a big success. Those are the things that you remember. It's not all about making money. It's about those delightful moments.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things. I think many entrepreneurs relate to and sort of dream about being going and ringing the bell on NASDAQ the day your company goes public? Again, for the benefits of those that may not be aware, so typically when the day a company goes public on NASDAQ, the go-to guy, which is typically the CEO slash chairman of the company, gets to go and ring the bell for start of trading
the
for that
opening,
day.
The opening bell. That
the
is
opening
correct,
bell, yes, yeah, yeah. So how fun, how very, very fun. And now you're in the VC business. So let's talk about that briefly, because the topic that I've picked today that I want to understand from you is how a deal gets done. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs are taught about how to pitch, how to present, how to do various different things. And, you know, one of the things that everybody says is, what do you want to do in your first VC meeting? And a lot of people say the goal is to get to the second meeting. And when you get to the second meeting, the goal is to get to the third meeting. But what I really want to sort of share with my listeners, and would really appreciate if you would, is to show what happens on the inside. What happens when a deal comes to you? What do you guys do with the deal? How does it move along? Everybody always talks about it being a sieving process, that, okay, you go and you talk to four people, and then you talk to two, and then you talk to 20, and what happens, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm not saying that very, how should I say it, properly or very accurately. But what I want to do is, I want you to show us how a deal gets done. So let's start out by saying, I want to pitch to you. How do I get to you,
okay,
first of all?
Let's first talk about what happens before you come to a venture
exactly.
firm, right? So typically, most venture firms, in Silicon Valley anyway, don't respond to a business plan just showing up in the email from somebody that they don't know. So I actually don't have the time to even look at those deals, and that's true with most of my partners. And I think that's true with most of the better firms on Sandal Road. Typically, we only look at those companies that come to us from somebody we know. So if Rohit sent me a deal, I look at it because I know you, right?
Well, gee, thank you.
But if you send me bad deals, I stop looking at your deals.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, you know, we look at those opportunities that come to us from people that we know. If an opportunity comes to us from a person that we know, we evaluate that against whether I have the expertise to look at that deal, or whether somebody else in my firm has the expertise to look at that deal, or whether it's a deal that we don't really have an expertise in and therefore probably don't have an interest in, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first level of sieving process. You have to send the business proposal through someone that the venture fund knows. Send it to a partner, hopefully, that this person, who I, let's say, call a connector between you as an entrepreneur and the venture firm, have this person who's the connector for you send the opportunity to the venture partner that he knows or she knows. And then effectively that partner will think about the expertise matching and then, you know, bring in that person to come in and talk to the right partner. Okay, so that's what happens before you even show up. And typically that's a fairly big cutoff point, right? We see thousands of plans come in. Most of them are from people that, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
So they get automatically rejected. A smaller subset of them, which typically number perhaps 3,000 for our venture firm annually, are from people that we know. So it's still a very, very large number.
So you get about 3,000 business plans from people you know, and the unsolicited number is?
Much higher than that. We don't even keep track of it.
You want to venture a guess?
I would imagine it's 6,000 or more. Yeah.
Okay, so that means about 30% will come from people you know.
Or maybe about half, somewhere between 30% and half. That's
okay.
Correct. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So essentially, you know, after that comes in, then typically we will invite that person to come in for the first meeting. We'll do a little bit of check on the background of the person, make sure that the expertise is matched. Probably not all 3,000 will get invited, because remember I mentioned some of them may be outside our expertise or area of interest.
Yeah.
I think one thing that entrepreneurs should understand is that from time to time, venture funds define which areas they're interested in.
Yeah.
And typically that's done fairly thoughtfully. They're looking at the industry trends, they're looking at the market segments, they're looking at areas that might be overinvested, where too much money's already gone in. All those things come under consideration. And then the personal interests of the partner are also very important. The background of the partner is very important. So, by the way, a lot of this information is available on the venture fund websites. All you have to do is to go to the website of any fund, including Trinity Ventures, and look at what companies I have invested in or any one of my partners have invested in. Look at what I'm talking about on my Twitter feed or on my Facebook page, which conferences I'm attending. A lot of that stuff is fairly public.
Yeah.
Or you can research it.
Right.
And which conferences I'm going to and which conferences I'm on the panel of, what topics do I show interest in. I think it'd be very important for an entrepreneur to research that and then find not just the right venture firm, but also find the right partner in that firm so there's a good matching.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's very important for the next thing which I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
So hold that thought. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and continue talking with Ajay Chopra from Trinity Ventures. So today we're talking about how a venture deal gets done. And folks, as I've always mentioned in the past, really think of this show as a helpline for startups. So if you have questions, comments, feel free to call in. Phone number to the studios is 408-912-KLOK. Please remember to keep your radios turned down when you call in. And hold your calls off for another 15 minutes because I do want to get through a lot of this stuff with Ajay and get deep insights. And then we'll start taking some calls. So we'll be right back with Ajay Chopra from Trinity Ventures.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737, or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's G-O-G-E-O RealtyUSA.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number 014-75435.
Did you get my email?
Oh, on the project?
Yeah, you know the project that's due next Friday? I'm going to highlight the first five articles. Kathy's going to do the next five. And can you get to the last five?
Sounds good. I'll get on them. I'm going to do all my highlights in yellow. And can you use pink?
Yeah, then we can just combine all the highlights to create our final report.
Sure. Thanks, Ina. Will do.
Sharing your research has never been easier. Use Rohit.com. ROOHIT.com.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email, or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Do not copy and paste and go through the extra effort to show them that what's relevant. Why not highlight the web page before you send it or share it? Just type Rohit.com before any web page URL, e.g., HTTP. Rohit.com/google.com. Your mouse cursor instantly changes to highlight pen. Just select any text and see it instant to get highlighted in colors, and it automatically gets a tiny URL that will take you to any visitor's direct and highlights on the web page. And it either requires anyone to register or install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast. No fine print and totally hassle-free. Try it now. Rohit.com. And now back to our show, where it's host Rohit Chandra, as serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and is always looking for good people and good ideas. And if you have any good ideas that you are committed to, please do get in touch with him, a prolific inventor.
Sapne salam hai dosto, welcome back. We are talking today with Ajay Chopra from Trinity Ventures. We are talking about how a venture deal gets done. So just before we took the break, Ajay, we were talking about, so people come to you from referrals, and those referrals are people that you're calling as connectors in your world. And so now what happens once I come through a referral? So you look at a deal, if it matches your domain expertise or an area of interest for the fund, where do we go from there?
So typically, you know, if it comes, as I mentioned, from a referral, then we take that deal very seriously from somebody that we know. We match the expertise internally, as I said, and then, you know, the right partner from the venture fund has a meeting. And typically in our venture firm, we try to do it with two people. So, you know, either the person who was approached for the deal or somebody else in the partnership along with one other person, so we can get an early indicator, you know, with two minds looking at the opportunity and see whether it's the right one for us.
Wow,
or not.
So that's very unusual in my experience. A first meeting where there'll be two guys that are sitting in on a first meeting.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we try to do is to make decisions as quickly as possible. And I think that's really good for not just the venture fund, but more importantly for the entrepreneur. Because,
absolutely.
You know, the last thing you want to do is to keep bringing the entrepreneur in for like 4 or 5 or 6 meetings only to turn them down.
Been there.
And the reality, you have been there, right? Actually, yes. Most people have been there. So.
Yeah, in fact, there's also in the entrepreneurial circle, there's this whole thing where VCs are not knowledgeable in a space. They'll have the entrepreneurs that are knowledgeable to come and get an education out of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's just not fair. It's not a very good use of certainly the entrepreneur's time, right? So we are very mindful of that. And you know, sometimes we are very busy, so only one partner or one individual, one investment professional from our firm would take that meeting. But typically we try to have, you know, a couple of people in there. You know, we already pre-qualified the company. We know that it's coming from a qualified connector.
So how does the pre-qualification work? So I pick up the phone and I call you, or I send an email to you and saying, Ajay, take a look at this. At this point, should I be sending you an executive summary of the company, or should I be just saying that, hey, I know these guys, look at it?
I think that's so typically if it's somebody like you, you know, who I already know, and you come to me, you know my interests already, right? You know what type of investments I'm looking at because we know each other. So if you send me something, I'll take that pretty seriously. And I'll send you a response saying, hey, listen, introduce this guy to me. I'll probably get on the phone to that person, you know, if I'm a little bit unsure about what the business is about. But usually I'll just ask my admin to arrange a meeting and it'll get on my calendar, okay? And then I'll invite one other person, you know, from my firm, either one of our partners or one of our principals, to come and join me during the meeting.
Okay.
Now, you know, keep in mind that this is because I've already pre-qualified this through a connector, which is you in this case. I've already pre-qualified that this is an area of interest for me, right? Maybe I've had a phone discussion with somebody.
Right.
With the entrepreneur.
Right.
Or maybe you about it. And then, you know, so I'm feeling fairly comfortable that time that I'm taking up of the entrepreneur and of my partnership is going to be useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have a first meeting. Entrepreneur comes in, and what happens?
So the entrepreneur makes the pitch.
Okay.
And so I'm going to talk about the entrepreneur does his thing.
And he gets, what, 30 minutes to pitch, an hour to pitch?
Typically, we reserve an hour, but we encourage entrepreneurs to keep their presentation to about 40 minutes. So there's time for questions.
Okay.
And we usually, you know, ask them to keep that to maybe between 15 to 20 slides.
Okay.
Okay, because it's, you know, 2 minutes per slide, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of a pace.
Is 40 minutes really doable? Because as I think back, it seems to be, it's a 60-minute meeting. Typically, pleasantries will take up the first 5 or 10 minutes. You know.
Well, that's why I'm saying it should be 40 minutes,
yeah,
right? Because
40 minutes to sort of
maybe you'll get started. Maybe you'll get started 5 minutes late,
right?
You know, because of the pleasantries. We try to be pretty rigorous about getting started on time. And then, you know, typically you have questions and answers, and usually our next meeting is going to start on the dot, you know, at the following hour. So,
right.
You know, I often say that VCs are on a 1 hour treadmill, right? So our entire day is 1 hour meetings that continue. So it's a pretty intense day, right? From 8 o'clock on. So, you know, typically make it 40 minutes, about 20 slides, right? And then leave plenty of time for Q&A because you'll also probably get interrupted in the middle. And the reason that's enough is fundamentally, if you can't explain your company in 40 minutes, there's something wrong with the business, okay?
Or with the
venture capitalist, right?
Yeah.
Because either the venture capitalist is not informed about that
space.
Market or the space,
right.
And they're trying to take an education like you were mentioning earlier, at the expense of the entrepreneur's time,
right.
Which I don't think is fair, or the entrepreneur hasn't really thought through, you know, the various issues that it needs to make a business, you know, not just the technology, but also the marketing and sales and so forth.
Yeah. All right, so let's pick up the pace a little bit and say, so the entrepreneur comes in, he pitches, and he says, okay, thank you, Ajay, I'll see you next time, or what do you say to him?
Well, I say to him, look, we'll put our heads together and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
All right, and typically what I say is, I'll get back to you within a week.
Okay.
Okay, so, and we usually discuss our better companies on every Monday morning meeting with the rest of the partnership, so that's why I keep a week margin, okay?
Right, the famous Monday morning meetings.
That's correct, exactly. Yeah. So, now let's talk about what happens when the entrepreneur leaves.
Exactly.
So this is, like you were saying earlier, you know, this is the VC is in a glass house,
yep.
Or maybe the entrepreneur is a fly sitting on the wall of the VC, you know, firm.
Exactly.
And they're watching what's going on.
Exactly.
Right? So typically what we'll do right after the entrepreneur leaves is the two people that were in the meeting, we will caucus together, right? Right away, right after the meeting.
Okay.
And it's really for only a few minutes, and they're a very important few minutes because in those few minutes, we will discuss each other's opinions about what we felt about the company.
Okay. Right?
And we come back with one of three answers. Either it is something we should pursue to the next level, or is it something that we should reject, or should we think about this a little bit more and, you know, bounce some ideas off, you know, internally in the next few days?
Okay.
Or maybe call a few people who may have expertise in that area, right? And typically what we'll try to do is only pick like one or two. If it's the third category, we'll typically pick somebody that we know who knows that space really, really well, much better than us.
Yeah.
So it can be a highly leveraged call. We just make one call and we can get an opinion,
yeah,
right? And so now, of course, you know, unfortunately, 90% of the time, it is a rejection at that stage, okay? That's okay. Just the nature of the business. Because, you know, we typically, as I mentioned, you know, may have talked, you know about this already, but, you know, we typically start with roughly about 3,000 companies that we look at each year. And at the end of the funnel, we end up investing in less than a dozen, right? So we try to make the decisions to reject companies pretty early on in the process,
yeah,
okay? So the largest...
I mean, some people say VCs are in the business of saying no.
You know, I think the VCs are, well, it obviously feels like that from the outside. And when I was an entrepreneur, it felt like that to me too. But you can see why it is, right?
Right, of course.
You know, and because if you're going to pick only 12 companies, you're starting with 3,000, there are many more no's than yeses. So, you know, it does come across like that. But the idea is to really pick the best fit,
right,
for the venture fund. And it's really the fit that makes the difference.
Right. Okay. So caucus, let's say you have no is easy. We already talked about the fact that let's take a look at it. What happens if it's a yes? The two people said yes.
Now so if both of the people agree, then we get pretty excited about it because, you know, now they're two minds that are thinking about it. Both have expertise in the space and they, you know, they're thinking that this is a good firm. Then what we do is we socialize it internally, typically at the partners meeting the following Monday. So everybody else gets
to weigh. For the benefit of my listeners, that means every Monday you have all the partners meet.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, almost all venture firms pick Monday as a day.
Right.
When all the partners get together, they sit around the table.
How long is your partner meeting?
Typically about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
You know, in that range.
How many deals has the firm looked at typically in this week gone by?
We had about 7 or 8 deals that were of that quality where we said, at the first level, we said, this looks interesting.
Okay.
Right.
So in the Monday morning meeting, you're going to discuss those 7 or 8.
That is correct. So
everybody else is not going to make it.
Nobody else makes it to the discussion. Right?
And how many came in a week?
So probably, you know, they're roughly about 3,000 a year. So you can do the math roughly, you know, 52 weeks in a year, roughly about 60 or so are floating around at some level.
Okay. So, that means about 60 came in the week.
Right.
And 7 or 8 of those.
That is correct.
Be discussed.
Yeah.
Now what happens?
Roughly about maybe 10%-ish kind of number, right?
Yeah.
Then the discussion goes around the table and, you know, obviously other partners may have opinions. They may talk about individuals that may have expertise in the space. So the person who is the one who is working on the deal will essentially take notes of that and say, okay, I'll make a few more calls and see how I feel about this, right?
Okay.
And usually what we do is after that meeting, if everybody's feeling good about it, we call the entrepreneur, right? And let him know that, hey, listen, we have an interest in this, and then describe our process to the entrepreneur, which is we probably going to bring you in again and have you meet with a broader segment, okay? But we're doing a few more checks before we do that or something of that nature, okay?
Okay.
Now, I think from an entrepreneur's perspective, that's a very, very important point in time, okay? Because what the entrepreneur has found now inside the company, inside the VC firm, is what we call a potential champion.
Okay.
He's not still a champion, but he's a potential champion for that deal.
Okay.
Right? Because essentially, this partner is trying to figure out if this is the deal that he wants to do this year, or maybe one of the two deals he's going to do this year, okay? So he or she.
Right.
So effectively, you know, what the entrepreneur now has to do is to make sure that he converts this person from a potential champion to a real champion of the deal,
yeah,
right? By sending him whatever information about the company, organization, and also about the market, you know, and the potential vision and so forth, right? So that's a very important part in time.
Yeah, you just made a very important point that I sort of want to reemphasize. So a partner is typically going to make 1 or 2 deals in a year. And after he's looked at some subset of this 3,000, the entrepreneur's job at this point is to convince him that this is the one deal he wants to invest in this year. Which means you have to really get this guy super excited and super stoked about what you're doing.
This is correct.
It's not one of those things like, hey, this is one of the 5 most interesting companies I've seen this year. It's got to be like, this is the most interesting company I've seen the entire year.
And also making a prediction that maybe this is the most interesting companies from the companies I'm going to see later on this year.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because this could be January.
Yes, yes. So,
you know, so I think that's an important thing to know because you know, the more the potential champion knows about the business and the market and the differentiation of the company and the team and the thinking that has gone in between and the actual metrics of the business, the better, you know, the possibility is that that person will become an internal champion.
Okay.
For the entrepreneur.
How important is it to have a champion?
That's the only way the deals get done in most of the venture firms, right?
Okay. So it's critical, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, internally in our firm, we talk about that conversion of a venture partner from thinking about a deal to becoming a champion. We call that informed conviction, right? So you are trying to collect as much information as possible about the business that you're looking at investing in, and you're forming your own conviction based on information,
okay,
right? So I think once that process happens, then this person starts to become more and more a believer, the venture capitalists become more and more a believer in your business, and can then articulate that conviction more clearly to his partners,
okay,
or her partners.
Okay. So Monday morning meeting happens, partnership looks at it, they say, yeah, looks interesting. What do you do next?
So now we, you know, inform the entrepreneur that, yeah, we have an interest in this company. What we like to do is to collect the following information, call a few people. Can you help us with this additional information? It could be related to the business metrics. It could be related to the market. It could be related to the technology in many instances. It could be related to other investors that may have done angel investing in there, so we can talk with them and understand their viewpoint on the market and so forth. But more likely than not, we will invite the entrepreneurial team to come in and present again. And, you know, and different venture firms deal with this in different ways, but in our firm, typically what we do is we involve maybe one or two other investment individuals at that point in that follow-on meeting.
Okay.
Because we're trying to, again, move as rapidly as possible.
Okay.
And try to build a, you know, some form of a consensus inside the firm.
All right. So I had my first meeting with you on a Monday morning. No, you're busy. So on a Monday afternoon, I had my first meeting with you. So following Monday morning, you talk with your partnership and you like my deal. And now when do you invite me to come back?
As soon as it can be scheduled. So, you know, typically depending on the, you know, the schedule of the entrepreneur and the schedule of the firm. And
entrepreneur schedules are open for VCs.
May or may not be. A lot of them are busy building businesses. Don't forget that.
No, not the early stage guys. The early stage guys, when they're out raising money, when a VC says, I want to see you on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock, he says, yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, that's generally true. But, you know, we have seen some of them are out of town or, and they're busy building
so
businesses.
Anyway, I'm just trying to put a timeline for this for the benefit of my listeners.
Yeah.
So this next second meeting happens in about a week?
Roughly about a week or so. And, you know, if the opportunity is moving faster, where the entrepreneur is seeing a lot of interest, obviously we can move much, much faster, right?
Okay.
So, and remember, this competition on both sides.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm first trying to get to the normal process, and, and then I want to get to the point of saying, now what happens if it's a competitive deal?
Right.
So we
right.
still have a lot of ground to cover looking
so
in.
So then the second meeting happens, and if everybody feels good about that, then typically we launch into what we call a regular diligence on the company, right?
The so-called due diligence
process. Due diligence process, right? So in our venture firm, we consider a term sheet to be a very serious commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some venture firms, particularly on the East Coast, they issue a term sheet and then do the diligence afterwards, typically, right? But typically the better West Coast firms, when they issue a term sheet, that's almost a commitment. So we try to get as much diligence done as possible. So after that second meeting, we launch into a diligence phase. That might take typically 1 to 2 weeks, you know, of just going through everything, understanding, you know, details about the company, the market, and the technology and so forth, and the people, right? And then what we are doing internally is collecting enough information to document the conviction that the champion of the deal has developed about the opportunity.
So as I mentioned earlier, looking in, how much of the champion's time would be allocated to chasing this deal?
A lot. So once, you know, remember a venture somebody who's a partner in a venture firm is going to do only one or two deals a year. If he or she has found that opportunity, they're going to just shut everything else off and just make sure they concentrate on that opportunity.
So
really
that means they're spending, what, 80% of their time on the
maybe
deal?
As much as that, at least them and along with other people that are helping them in the firm. So, you know, working through their diligence process, right? So
that's a sizable time commitment.
It is a sizable for that short period, right?
Yes.
Because you have to make those decisions and you know, and develop that important conviction.
Right.
So they work through that process. And then the next step is, in our firm anyway, we document the entire diligence process in what we call a deal qualification memo.
Okay.
So the deal qualification memo is typically a document that's internally prepared that talks about all the positives and negatives and risks and, you know, and opportunities related to this company that the partner who's championing the deal is looking at.
Okay.
Okay. And so, and that document is actually circulated to our partnership.
Okay.
In preparation for what is called a partners meeting, you know.
The same Monday morning meeting.
It would, that's right. So same Monday morning meeting, typically we may have a firm come in that has gone through this entire process. And now is one of those few that has got a real possibility of getting an investment from our fund.
Okay.
And the last process in that is this entrepreneur coming into that partners meeting in front of the entire partnership on a Monday morning and then making a presentation. Now, by that time, most of the partners are generally up to speed, you know, on the opportunity. They've looked at the deal qualification memo, which is fairly detailed.
How long is that?
How many pages?
Yeah.
Probably about anywhere between 7 to 10 pages or so.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's fairly substantial. It's got all the information on the references checks we did, market, so forth. It's got the, you know, the bio of the entrepreneurs, their backgrounds and so forth. We've done some, you know, checks on their references, the market references, the technology references and so forth.
And everybody's read up on it and knows
some
that
customer
stuff.
Calls, you know, we do customer calls in many instances. And yeah, and the partners have read through that. Typically.
Everybody's read up on it.
Typically the partners have read through it before they come into the meeting. Okay. And then so they can ask intelligent questions related to the firm that we are looking at investing in.
Okay. What happens at the entrepreneur comes, pitches for how long?
Same thing, it's an hour. So
they still get an hour for them.
Still an hour, and, okay. And so they'll pitch, you know, typically 45 minutes. The good ones are really well prepared by that point. They have actually talked about their presentation to the champion typically, you know, because the champion is now, you know, he's sort of thinking that this is a deal I really want to do, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're thinking of that as a champion. And so anyway, so that we go through that process. And then after the entrepreneur leaves, everybody talks about the opportunity.
Okay.
And one by one, around the table, everybody talks about the impression, positives, negatives. And in our case, they talk about whether, you know, we feel it's something that we should move forward with or not. So Okay. Everybody across the table, you know, discusses that.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and continue talking about how a deal gets done looking on the inside of a venture fund. We have in the studio today Ajit Chopra from Trinity Ventures. We'll be right back.
To advertise on this show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that's being listened to by a fully engaged audience. Folks, it's not without a reason that advertisers spend about $20 million on radio advertising every year. So if you're recruiting, looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can email us at radio@ruhit.com or you can find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. That's ruhit.com/radio.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Are you behind on or having difficulty making your mortgage payments? If you or anyone you know is facing foreclosure and looking for answers, please contact us right away for a free consultation. Contact Sean Nasir, 209-603-3737, or go to www.georealtyusa.com. That's G-O-G-E-O RealtyUSA.com. California Department of Real Estate, license number
Sapna Salama, dosto, welcome back. We're talking today with Ajay Chopra from Trinity Ventures about how a venture deal gets done. I am going to continue talking about that. I'm going to open up the phone lines. Phone number to studios 408-912-KLOK. Feel free to call and ask questions. So, Ajay, I'm going to pick up the pace. We've got 20 minutes left. I know my phones are going to start ringing off. Company comes in Monday morning, presents, partner meeting happens. Now what?
So basically, you know, as I mentioned, after the entrepreneur leaves, everybody around the table has their opinion on the company. They have been already prepared with the deal qualification memo about the background, and everybody just talks about the pluses and minuses and gives their opinion on whether they would do the deal or not, each of them individually.
Individually. Right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, you know, typically, none of the opportunities we look at, or very few of the opportunities we look at, are unanimous.
Okay.
Typically, you know, everybody has different opinions, and usually there are some people who, you know, feel like maybe it's a deal that, you know, we should not move forward with, and there are other people that look at the opportunity as something positive that we should move forward with. We don't look for a unanimous, you know, vote on that.
Thank you for clarifying that, because that was something I was going to ask you. So it does not have to be unanimous. There will be dissenters.
No. In fact, one of the things we've realized is some of the best opportunities that we invest in, when we look back at them several years from now, are those that are the most controversial. So we've learned that over periods of large number of years of investing, that it's not necessarily the unanimous ones that are the best opportunities.
Okay. Lovely. All right, I'm going to take this call real quick. Phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. Sapne Salamat, caller, you're live on air.
Yes.
Sapne Salamat, go ahead.
You want me to talk now?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still, okay. You want me to talk to Rohit now, just as on the air, okay.
Yes, caller, you're on the air for another 5 seconds before I hear a question.
Yes, I have questions, yes.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes, Rohit, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. At what stage...
Sapne Salamat, caller Sapne Salamat, what's your name?
Yeah, this is Balaji from San Jose.
Excellent. Sapne Salamat, Balaji.
Yeah, Rohit, at what stage should I go to venture capitalist? I mean, should I be ready with my product, or can I just, even at the design stage, can I go to venture capitalist? What space can I go?
What space are you working in?
It's something relating to sports.
Oh, wow. Sports. Ajay, take a stab at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing that I want to clarify is that venture capital is not for everybody. So one of the things you have to think about is, you know, whether you can build your business by other means, whether it is bootstrapping or taking bank loans or working with angel investors. Venture capitalists are typically interested in companies that have a very high outcome potential, so hundreds of millions of dollars of exit potential. So if your company is of that nature, then it doesn't really matter how early it is. You could even have just a PowerPoint presentation, and if you have an idea which has a potential of being, you know, very, very large outcome, that typically is the type of company that would be of interest to venture firms. Otherwise, there are many different ways of financing a business to an outcome that may be less than that.
So if I don't fall into that category, so you're saying is I can go for investment groups like that?
That is correct. I think there's, especially in Silicon Valley, I understand that you're in San Jose, there are lots of different angel groups and individual angel investors who, you know, are more than happy to work with companies that may not be having outcome potential that is that huge.
So Balaji, let me try and answer your question in a slightly different way. Venture capital is sort of an industry, if you will, and they will invest in various different stages with various different interests. So there might be some people that are interesting for super early stage. There are people that are looking for what they call early stage, and there are people that are looking for mid stage, late stage. And you have to sort of go out and find which funds are looking at a space that you are interested in. So first of all, there might be venture funds that are only playing in technology or only in healthcare or only in clean sciences. So you have to find somebody who's interested in something like sports, whether that falls into retail or I don't know what your particular industry is going to be. And once you find that, then you have to find somebody who's going to be interested in that particular segment. So you could be venture ready at pretty much any stage, or you could be venture ready never. I know that's a non-answer in some ways, but it's the harsh reality.
And then can I take help of Abhijit later stage? Can you help me out?
Yeah, of course. You know, definitely if you're developing your company and you're feeling like that this is something that, you know, could have a venture scale outcome, then by all means, you know, you should talk to venture capitalists. That's what we are in business for.
Yeah. And I think I want to sort of throw this out at the for all entrepreneurs out there. Folks, venture capitalists are not there to help you. Venture capitalists are there to make money, just like you're there to make money. So make sure it's a deal that's going to be of interest where they're going to make money. That's the bottom line. It's a business decision. It is not a charitable organization.
Absolutely. You're right. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Radhe.
Radhe, sapne salamat.
What?
Sapne salamat, my friend.
Okay. My name is E.
Yes, E. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
Ask away.
Okay. My question is about seed stage VC fundraising. I wonder if at a seed stage VCs typically invest little, and how much we should expect from VC?
Yes, VCs do invest in seed stage. We actually have a seed stage program. You know, typically a seed investment is defined in the range of total investment of less than $1 million. And, you know, we make several seed investments down as little as $100,000 in a round. Typically, we do that with other people who are doing seed stage investing, and usually those are angel investors.
I see. I have heard that sometimes VCs tie the investment to milestones. So is it common for seed stage? Suppose the VC committed...
I understand the question. Yes, I believe it is common for VCs to tie investments to milestones.
Yeah, I mean, it's not always true, but in some instances we do tie to milestone and what is called tranche the investment and, you know, give additional amounts if you meet milestones. That is done. It's not 100%. It's probably in some percentage of the investments.
All right, if you have more questions, send us an email at radio@ruhit.com. My switchboard is completely lit up. I need to grab the next call. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes, Sapne Salamat, this is Pat. Hi. I just have a question.
Yes, Pat, go ahead.
I'm actually into mobile technologies, and we already have some paying customers right now. And I'd like to buy out a technology that's available in the marketplace. And we will need some venture funding kind of thought, private equity kind of thing. Basically, buy that technology out so that we can integrate it with our mobile technologies. So just want to get some ideas on that side.
Pat, I think we're sort of doing a show where we're sharing a lot of ideas. In terms of more specific help, I'll again direct you to sending an email to radio@ruhit.com. That's radio@ROOHIT.com.
Okay.
All right. And we'll take specific questions, 408-912-5565. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi, Rohit. This is Smita.
Sapne Salamat, Smita.
Yeah, hi. I had a question. I'm an answer.
Hang on, Smita. Hang on. This is not a good day for me. I'm used to my callers always saying Sapne Salamat on the beginning of the call.
Oh, I see. Sapne Salamat.
Thank you, Smita. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rohit. This is Smita. I'm an entrepreneur, and I would like to actually. I'm interested in knowing how does a VC. What is a VC looking for in terms of the market opportunity details from an entrepreneur? Because sometimes the entrepreneur has uncovered or identified an untapped market. It could be like
white spaces. Entrepreneurial VCs love white spaces. Continue with your question.
Yeah. The question is like sometimes an entrepreneur may have uncovered or identified an untapped market, right? So what are the details that a VC looks for in terms of the market opportunity and on addressing the market needs?
Yes, Smita, that's a really good question. Let me just try to answer that. We love, as Rohit mentioned, we love, entrepreneurs who come up with ideas in what are called white spaces where there's nobody else at this present moment. I mean, Facebook was an example of that, or maybe I should say MySpace because they did it before that,
Friendster,
even before that. So, I mean, I think when we are making early stage investments, which is what we typically do, we are looking primarily at the entrepreneur. We are looking at, what is their background, what is their vision, how committed they are to it, and how they think about a potential segment that might be emerging, rather than trying to evaluate the size of a segment. So that is actually far more important to us. So I think if you have ideas in a market that has not emerged yet, but you have a clear, crisp vision as how that might unfold, that would be of very good interest to venture capitalists.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, Smita. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Oh, hi, Rohit. Sapne Salamat. My name is Anand. I'm calling from Fremont. I had a question for you, for your guest who's there.
Yes, please fire away.
Sure. After, I'm sorry, I dialed in late. I don't remember his name. But after your
Ajay Chopra Trinity Ventures.
Hi, Ajay. Sorry about that. After your internal Monday morning meeting at Community Ventures, where you've discussed the deal internally and you have a partner who's sort of championing this deal, if you eventually decide not to invest, I've noticed, what sort of feedback do you eventually provide the entrepreneur? I mean, I've gone through this detailed due diligence process for months on end, taken out significant time, which could have been spent on operations in doing pitches, meeting analysts, 22-year-old analysts who never seen a financial spreadsheet, explaining stuff, giving references, names of customers, spending time to VCs with VCs, only to be told later, oh, we're not interested right now, but maybe in the next round. I mean, this, obviously it's very frustrating, and I'm not going to disclose the name of my startup for obvious reasons, but could you share what your thinking is? Why is it that most top-tier firms, I'm not talking about small-time folks, top-tier VCs, will almost never give you real feedback on why? Why not now? They'll never say, no, we're not interested. It's always not now.
Yeah, excellent, okay. Excellent question, Anand. I love your question. And I'm sorry I've put Ajay on the spot because he's suddenly looking like the bad guy, but even though he might be the good guy amongst the sea of people that are doing this, but I want to hear Ajay's response.
No, I mean, I empathize with that because remember, I was an entrepreneur too, so I had experiences such as those. I think the VC industry has no real excuse for doing that, to be honest with you. The only thing I can say is that it is, when you're sieving from 3,000 or 6,000 companies down to 12, you know, many times you just get caught up in trying to do deals and you forget about the ones that you rejected. But that's not an excuse. You know, we try to do things really quickly and try to make sure that we get back to you with not just a quick answer, but feedback. One thing that can, help an entrepreneur not get into that situation is to have a more balanced view of whether there's real interest or is it just, somebody that is saying that they're just keeping you on the hook. You know, if there is real interest, things move very quickly. If they're keeping you on the hook for several months, I would say that that's not something that is high priority for them. And I would not spend a ton of energy. You should probably ask them for evidence as to why they're not moving quickly, much earlier in the process rather than continuing to work with them and dragging this on for months and months. That's something you need to control as an entrepreneur yourself.
Yeah, go ahead, Anand.
Most of these things happen in about 3 or 4 weeks, but 3 or 4 weeks to an entrepreneur is significant time. I mean, I could be moving my product so much.
Yeah.
I'm spending 8 hours a day in preparing this nice, glossy collateral for VCs, which are probably being tossed at the end of the meeting. So it's frustrating, obviously, for me when I don't even receive feedback as to why it's not being considered.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's no...
After going through an extensive process, this is not... obviously, there are a couple of partners who think it's worth investing, and then when they say not now, say, okay, so how about shedding some light on why not? Is it the market? Is it the team? What's going on here?
That's a very fair comment. And by the way, this kind of frustration is not unusual in regular business anyway, right? Sometimes you're working with trying to line up your clients, you do multiple sales calls, and you don't get the deal, right? So it's not unusual to go through that process, but I'm not making any excuses. All I'm saying is that you may want to get more control of the process and ask those questions early on and get a good sense of whether this particular VC firm will be moving forward or not.
I think I empathize with you, Anand, but I think much to Ajay's point that there is a disappointment that might kick in at any stage. And this is part of why I'm trying to put these guys in a glass box and look in and say, you know what? Okay, so you made it to the partner meeting. And the reason you made it to the partner meeting is because these guys are serious about the deal. They're not yanking your chain or my chain. We are both entrepreneurs. But the reality is, even once you get to the partner meeting, it might turn out that the champion loses because he thinks it's a great deal. Three people think it's a great deal and three think it's a bad deal. And as a fund, they may decide not to do it. So I think there's an entire process here. And as the entrepreneur, I completely empathize with you. And I think it's a fantastic question to have raised and brought to the forefront. But
I think it's just professionalism, right? I mean, you owe it to the guy if he spends about 3 or 4 weeks with you in explaining.
No, actually, you know what I would say? If there are funds out there that will not give you feedback, you should put it on your blog and you should out them because in my experience, they will always give you feedback. In fact, for me as the entrepreneur, I'm almost at the point like, dude, don't give me any more feedback. I've got enough feedback. I'm done with feedback. Stop criticizing me. Either give me a term sheet or give me the money or don't. So okay. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to be sensitive to it from both perspectives. But thank you for your call. That's an excellent question. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapna Salamat, hi. My name is Lena. That was an excellent question, the previous question. I just wanted to continue there.
Yes, please.
What's the, yeah. When we were pitching, just when the market crash was going, people were saying you will only get a Series A valuation for even for Series B companies. So what's the current status?
And I think that panic of late 2008, early 2009 has diminished substantially. I think the valuations are now at the nominal stage. I don't think ever in our lifetime they're going to be in the 1999 and 2000 craziness, but I think they're fairly sane. I mean, we are actually paying up quite a substantial amount for Series B deals in some cases where there are good entrepreneurs involved in good markets.
Okay, great. Thank you for the question. We have completely run out of time. Before I have to run away, I'm going to give like three or four rapid-fire questions to Ajay. Thank you for your call. Ajay, typical Series A, what valuation?
Typically less than 10 million.
Typical Series B?
Depends. We have seen anywhere from, 15 or sometimes even flat with Series A all the way to 100 million in some cases.
Okay. Yeah. Typical Series A, you said 10 million. Is that pre-money, post-money?
Typically, could be pre or post, but typically in that range. I would say the pre is typically around 6 to 8, that kind of a thing, depending on how much money you raise. Yeah.
A money raise typically in a typical Series A?
Anywhere from 3 to 6 million.
What percent of the company does the entrepreneur give up?
Between 33 and 50.
And there's silence. and an option pool on top of that.
No, option pool is included in that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot more palatable. Okay, great. Listen, this has been really, really enjoyable. I am so delighted that you were able to come out on a Saturday, take some hard questions, take some easy questions, share with us in terms of how a VC fund works.
It's a good way to spend a Saturday.
Well, thank you so much for coming out.
All right.
And we'll continue talking next week. And in the meantime, folks, if you're looking to volunteer for the show, go ahead and reach out to radio@ruhit.com. We are looking for volunteers. And have a fantastic weekend. Sapne Salamat.
Tens of thousands of bloggers have added a highlighter to their blogs. Now, anyone that visits their blog can highlight any part of the blog and share it with their contacts. No one needs to install any custom software or join in the new service. Add a highlighter to your blog only from ruhit.com. That's ROOHIT.com.
Sapne Salamat, dosto. Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt and Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Ruhit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called ROOHIT.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon.